For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Found the Word of God this evening. It's a good thing to come around the Word, to hear it preached and taught, and to take it into our hearts. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Lord, I pray now that there be faith arising in the hearts of people here, and that, Lord, you bless the hearing of the Word, and that the Word of God be glorified, and that you be praised, Lord, in Jesus' name. We give you all the glory in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're looking tonight at the church was purchased by God. Now, the way some people treat the church, you would think that God doesn't value it at all, and this is a very sad thing. But the fact is that tonight we're looking at the church was purchased by God, and if God purchased the church, then that means that it must mean something to him, and we're going to look at some scriptures around that. So God reached out to man even whilst man was separated from him. Separated means dead to him. Man, after he fell by his own free will, is dead, the Bible tells us, in trespasses and sins. But God didn't just say, well, he's done it now. He's made his own free will to go against me. God loved mankind and reached out. He reached out to mankind. So let's have a look at a few scriptures. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. Now, we have done quite a lot on the fact that man is dead in trespasses and sins and needed to be saved and needed a saviour. You can listen to the video sermon Preaching Gospel Truth, for example. That's on the website, so you can listen to that. But let's have a look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. Now here we see a very important couple of statements. And says, starting from verse 15, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." So just take hold of what that verse is saying there. The house of God must be a place where you can behave yourself. Can you see that? And he calls the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So you would expect in the house of God that there would be truth being preached and taught and upheld. So he's saying here, you ought to know how to behave in the house of God, and the house of God is the church of the living God. Can everyone see that? So the house of God is not just this airy-fairy, or we can't touch, or there's no structure to it. That's not the way the Lord has set it up, and we'll look at that in more detail in a minute. But look at what it says in verse 16, "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." So here we see God was manifest in the flesh. We could also link that with John 1:1, which says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Capital W-O-R-D was one of the titles of Jesus. And it says later in that the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. So we see God was manifest in the flesh. There's no coincidence that modernists do attack that verse, and that in the modern versions, for example, it doesn't say God was manifest in the flesh, a direct attack on his deity. So God was manifest in the flesh, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a very important thing to understand. If God was manifest in the flesh, there must have been a very important purpose for that. And the purpose was so that he could be the perfect sacrifice for sin. And we'll see that as we go forward. So let's have a look now at Acts 20. Acts 20. And we'll see how God views the church, and how, in fact, Jesus views the church. So that means that it has to be important to us as well, as Christians, as believers in Christ. So Acts 20, look at verses 17 and 18 first of all, in Acts 20. Verses 17 and 18. And from Miletus, he, that's Paul the Apostle, sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Notice who he called? The elders of the church. So there must have been elders, ministers of God, elders in the faith, that are in a church. Obviously, and the Bible calls them people that rule over the church. You can look at that in other scriptures. But it's a godly rulership. It's just like you can't have society without government. You surely cannot have church without godly rulership and government as well. So he called the elders of the church. He wanted to say something to them. And he says quite a few things. Verse 18, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. In verse 19, he says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and he goes on. So the way Paul was with these elders is relating how he had been with them and what he did with them and showed them. And now go down to verse 27. You can read some of the things that he did there. But notice what he says in verse 27 onwards. For I have not shunned to declare unto you, talking to the elders of the Ephesus, the church at Ephesus, the Ephesian church, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Now notice what he says in verse 28. Take heed unto, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Can you see that there? God purchased the church with his own blood. But he's not just talking about the universal church here, because right here he's talking to the elders of the Ephesian church. God's purchase goes right to the very people that are in the church by virtue of being born again. They've come to Christ, believed on him, received him as their saviour. So notice that the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, has made certain people overseers here. So it's so important for the Holy Ghost to be involved to make certain people overseers. In other words, they had a calling, they haven't made themselves overseers. Okay. For what purpose? What does it say in verse 28? To feed the church of God. To feed the church of God. What do the elders, the ministers of God do to feed the church of God? What do they feed? What is spiritual food, is the question we should be asking. Well, Jesus answered that question in Matthew 4:4. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, that's the physical, but by every word which proceedeth from the mouth of God. So the spiritual food, and you can see it in other scriptures as well, because the Word of God is also called milk and meat. Spiritual food is the Word of God, and we know other scriptures which talk about that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So it's absolutely important for the church to be feeding the flock. Well, that's physical people gathering together, isn't it? The flock. To be feeding the church of God. What are they feeding them? Not candy floss or spiritual candy floss, but spiritual food, the Word of God. So that means that as you go forward in your Christian life and you are, as the Bible says, planted in the house of God, if you're flourishing in God, you're going to be growing spiritually. You're going to be increasing in strength. But notice verse 28 tells us very clearly to feed the church of God, which he, that's God, hath purchased with his own blood. Whose blood? God, Jesus' blood. Because we just read before that God was manifest in the flesh. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is called precious, for example, in 1 Peter. It's not to be put aside. It's not to be, you say, oh, well, Jesus came and he lived a good life and he was an example. He came for the purpose of purchasing us. Purchasing us. He came out of love. Love. So we see here, and we'll continue on with other verses here. Let's continue on. I'll read verse 28 again because it's such an important verse. It's something you should grab hold of and meditate upon so that you see the importance that God attaches to the church, the gathering of his people, the flock, as he calls it. And we saw before the church of the living God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Verse 29 says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. So the grievous wolves, and they often come in sheep's clothing, Jesus said, the grievous wolves are not caring for the flock. They might come in pretense. They're not caring for the flock at all. They're not caring about feeding the flock. They're not caring for the sheep of God. What are they caring about? Themselves? They come in and they can have an agenda of destruction. Well, this is one of the benefits of having godly ministers as overseers, as overseers by the Holy Ghost. There is a protective value to that. They're not going to just allow any old wolf to come in and devour people. Okay, so notice what he says in verse 31. Verse 30 says, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Now that's a sad statement, isn't it? Verse 31, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. 3 years is quite a time to be with people and to be warning them. So he was warning them about the fact that the grievous wolves would come in. He was warning people really to honour God by valuing the things of God, particularly the church of the living God. So I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And notice what he says in verse 32, and now, brethren, I commend you to God. Now, brethren, as brothers and sisters in the Lord, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. So we must give priority on the word of God's grace. We must give priority on the word. It's our spiritual food. And the ministers of God, the overseers, will also do that. The elders will do that as well. But notice what he says, the word of his grace will do in verse 32, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. So the word of God is able to build you up, build up your faith, build up you so that you're able to stand against the wiles of the enemy, the devil. You're not going to be tricked. Build you up so that, and the Bible says the word is health to all your flesh. Build you up, spirit, soul, and body. God wants you strong. He wants you to be able to stand strong even in the face of opposition, even in the face of persecution. Okay. Some people buckle if someone says a nasty word to them. Well, we're not living on a neutral planet. The Bible says that Satan is the god, little g, spiritual ruler of this world, and this world is a fallen world. So we see here that the word of God is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance so that you know who you are in Christ and what Jesus has accomplished on the cross for you. You know that God is your strength, that he is your refuge, he is your fortress, he is your healer, he is the one who's forgiven you. You know that because God is with you. If you've been born again, he's always with you. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. And the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that he is your helper. He is your helper. Glory to God. So let's look at Ephesians 2. We'll start from verse 1. Ephesians 2. I want you to see the value, because we're looking at the church was purchased by God, the value of the church in God's eyes. In God's eyes. And so if it's valuable in his eyes, it should be valuable in our eyes as well. In fact, anything that's valuable to God should be valuable to us. For example, if the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is called precious, we should also call it precious. Very valuable. So notice what it says in verse 1, and we'll go down to verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath he quickened, that means made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. There was a time when you were dead, you were separated from God in your sin. But now, because you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have him as your Saviour, as your Lord. You've been quickened. You've been made alive. You're no longer dead in trespasses and sins. And notice what it says in verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Well, that's talking about the devil and his minions. They're working in the children of disobedience. Sinners. That's another name for them. Now, Christians are not sinners. Christians are saints of God, because the Bible says you were servants of sin, but now you've become servants of righteousness. When did you become a servant of righteousness? When did you change from being a sinner? When you received Christ as your Saviour. When you were born again. So there was a change. In fact, the Bible says you're a new creature in Christ now. But the devil is out there working in the children of disobedience. Verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, notice it says were by nature, the children of wrath, that is, deserving the wrath of God, even as others. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, what is he? Rich in mercy. We should say, thank you, Lord, you are rich in mercy. You have been merciful to me, who was a sinner, but you've saved me gloriously. Thank you, Lord. And we should praise the Lord that he is rich in mercy even now, because sometimes we may stumble. But the Lord is full of mercy, full of love. And if we come back to him and repent and ask for his forgiveness, he's rich in mercy. Glory to God. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Think about that. You now fully identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. Where he is, you will be in the future. He is in heaven, you'll be in heaven. He's in you now. The Bible says by faith he dwells in our hearts. So we know that we've been raised up together, spiritually raised up together with him, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Notice what it says in verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Think about that. Ages to come. A trillion years from now, you'll be with him. You won't be in hell. You'll be with him. And who knows? Certainly we have a very dim understanding of the ages to come. But we do know it's going to be glorious. We do know that the love of God is infinite. So look forward to that. Look forward to that. This time that we are on the earth is what the Bible calls a vapor, or like the flower of the field. It lasts very short. It's a short period of time. But the Lord has given us something that's really wonderful. He's given us the privilege of being able to serve him, and there is rewards attached to that, eternal rewards. But it is a privilege to serve the Lord. So as the flock of God, you see yourself as the flock of God, being fed, nourished and strengthened, not just for your own self, but so that you can serve God and do what he wants you to do on the earth in this fleeting period of time, to help in the salvation of mankind, to get people, you didn't earn it, no man earns salvation, but you can preach the gospel, you can preach the word, you can speak the word, you can be a witness for Christ. So you're not just getting fed so that you can be strong for yourself, but so that you can be a channel, a strong channel for the Lord. So value what he values. So verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So think about that. The Lord Jesus Christ paid for our salvation. And it's by his grace, by his enabling, his favour, are ye saved through faith. You accessed it by faith. You believe the gospel and you said, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I bow the knee, repent of my sin and receive him as my saviour. Glory to God. Forgive me, Lord. And I live my life for you. And the Lord, when you believe the gospel, the Bible says you'll be saved. And you go forward. Notice what it says in verse 10. You go forward to do something for him. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So notice, we've been made new creatures or new creations in Christ Jesus. Once we've been born again, we're his workmanship. You're a little baby when you're first born again, but you need to be fed. How are you fed? Are you fed by candy floss? Fairy floss? Are you fed by that? Or are you going to be fed by the Word of God, which is able to build you up, as we saw before? Able to feed you. Okay? Notice what it says, we've been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We weren't saved by our good works. We are saved people, though, through what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And because we're saved people, we now have good works that we need to do for the Lord, as it says there, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We should walk in those good works. We should get on our knees and ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do in my life for you? Because God has given every one of us abilities, every one of us talents. Lord, what do you want me to do for you in this fleeting life span that I have on the earth now? Because I know that in the ages to come, there will be great things, but I want to make a difference for you now. So right, you know, from this night onwards, let it be, my life is going to be making a difference for you by the will of God. Glory to God. So verse 10, let me just read that again. For we, that's those who have been saved, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God has ordained that you should walk in those good works and do what he wants you to do. Because now we're servants of righteousness. Now we're people that value the things he values. We've been looking tonight at the church was purchased by God. The church is made up of people who are saved. And the local church cannot be people you cannot, or the ministers cannot access. They must be people that they can help and feed and strengthen and bring them into a greater knowledge of what the Lord could do with them and for them. Glory to God. Be open to the things of God. So we see that the Lord Jesus Christ has paid the price, as it says in verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. Jesus did the work for us. He has given the gift of salvation. It's come through what he has done. Glory to God. All glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let him be magnified. Let him be magnified in our lives. In fact, the Bible says we should be conformed to the image of his dear Son. God's dear Son is Jesus. We should be just like him. And so more and more we should be reflecting him. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Now, this has some really good words we can take hold of in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. So we saw before in Acts 20 that God purchased the church with his own blood, and the church is made up of each individual stone, each individual sheep, each individual person who has been created in Christ Jesus. Okay, so you can see that the church across the earth is made up of many congregations. Okay, let's see that. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we're looking at verses 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, And what are these words here? And ye are not your own. Ye are not your own. If you're, look at what it says in the next verse, verse 20. For ye are bought with a price. What was that price? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of God. Think about that. Ye are bought with a price. Bought with a price. God saw you as so valuable that he bought you with a price. You were, remember, dead in trespasses and sins, separated from God, deserving of the wrath of God, outside of God, the Bible says, without hope, without a covenant, without God in the world. You were in darkness, you were blind. All these apply to those outside of Christ. But by his love, he's rich in mercy, by his love he reached out. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God does not want people to perish, but they must respond to the gospel. So notice what it says here in verse 20, for ye are bought with a price, the price of the blood of Jesus. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now notice what it says at the end of verse 20 there, which are God's, G-O-D apostrophe S. What's that telling us? You cannot get away from the fact that if you are a born-again Christian, God owns you. Okay? If God owns you, you will always be with God. And that's a good thing, not a bad thing. We came of our own free will to him because we realize what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And so, if we're bought with a price, it says, therefore, on this basis, glorify God in your body, that is, what you do with your body and how you treat it and where you go with it and so on. In other words, don't live the way of sinners. And in your spirit, what are you putting into your spirit? What are you putting in? Of course, part of the spirit, you are a spirit, you have a soul made up of mind, will and emotions, and you live in a body. That's your inner man, your spirit and soul. What are you putting into your soul? What are you putting into your spirit? Are you feeding your spirit? Because think about how you can glorify God in your spirit. How do you look after your spirit? How do you look after your body if you want to keep it nourished? You exercise it, you feed it properly. How do you look after your spirit? You exercise it by faith and prayer and doing the things that God wants you to do, and you feed it. What do you feed it with? What have we said? You feed it with the Word of God. You feed it with the Word of God. Now, I want to just finish with 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 and 17, because we've just seen that God was manifest in the flesh. God purchased the church with his own blood. We are now, as born-again believers who are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, we are now to glorify God in our body and in our spirit. And one of the things we do is that we commemorate. In the church, we commemorate the fact, and we'll be doing this on Sunday as an example, we commemorate the fact that the blood of Jesus Christ was shed, or that means was let out, and of course washes us clean by his blood. We're washed clean from all our sins. Very, very important thing that has happened, that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died for mankind as the perfect sacrifice. So we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. Let's have a look at that. The cup a blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Now, think about verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless. So the cup representing the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We use the pure grape, non-alcoholic here, to represent that. Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? So we're remembering communion, thinking about how that blood speaks to us. And the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? The Lord Jesus Christ, his body, we remember his body and what he has done for us. For we, being many, are one bread and one body, so we're unified. For we are all partakers of that one bread. And there's many other scriptures which talk about how we can honour the Lord. This is one way of honouring the Lord, is to partake of the Lord's Supper on a regular basis. And we do that together here as well. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for sending the Lord Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. We thank you for his pure, sinless blood through the Virgin Mary. Lord, we praise you and thank you, Lord, that it is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of God, that has washed us clean from all our sins. It is precious to us, and we count it as precious. Lord, we know that we have been bought with a price, and we praise you, Lord, for that. We thank you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that every one of us be people who glorify you in our body and in our spirit, and we go forward in you. We go forward in you, not backward. So that our lives are glorifying to you whilst we're on the earth and living for you. Help us and show us. Let every person here have revelation from you to know where you want us to be and what you want us to do in your body, in Jesus' name.